Boston fans, this is what you've been waiting for.
Thomas, in the paint, tries to spin it up and down.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Into Crowder, takes it. Got it! 8/10 of a second to go!
So what are you waiting for? Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
What up it is? Marcus Smart at the buzzer!
Exciting game down at TD Garden tonight for the Celtics. Welcome into CLNS Radio's post-game coverage of tonight's game between the Celtics and the Chicago Bulls. Tonight, the Celtics win their fourth straight game at home with a 105-100 victory over the Chicago Bulls. I am your host, Sean Backe, and don't forget to check out our new Twitter handle exclusively for the post-game show. Be sure to follow at CLNS Celts PG Show to tweet live with the host, and also get in queue when we open up the FanDuel call lines as well, 347-215-7771. Big victory for the Celtics tonight before they go up against the defending champions, the Golden State Warriors, who are already in Boston preparing for Friday night's game against the Celtics. Celtics will try to snap the historic streak from the Warriors, as they're now 23-0 coming in. Getting a little ahead of ourselves, though, is the Chicago Bulls were in town tonight after a lengthy road trip for the Celtics, a fairly successful one, particularly coming off a big victory against the New Orleans Pelicans. But tonight didn't get off to that great a start for the Celtics. They hung around in the first half but did not shoot very well. They made up for it in the second half and held off a late charge by the Bulls, but went on a pretty good-sized run, 12-2 or 14-2 run late in this game to kind of pull away, and they were able to hold off the Chicago Bulls 105-100. Of course, we'll be taking your calls all night at 347-215-7771 on the FanDuel call lines, and we will also have a call from Jared Weiss. We'll be calling in with the Grandstand app Celtics locker room report a little bit later on in this one tonight. But don't forget that Friday night we will have coverage of the Celtics and the Warriors after that one. That should be a very exciting matchup. So we are going to get into a little bit of a preview of that at some point in this show. But, of course, we'll break down this one. This episode is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free trial, visit Lynda.com/CLNS. That's LYNDA.com/CLNS. And before we go any further, don't forget to follow the network on social media, Twitter.com/CLNS or at CLNS Radio. And on Facebook, facebook.com/CLNSfans. Isaiah Thomas got off to a rough start tonight, didn't shoot very well, didn't even score any points in the first half, ended up with 20 points for the Celtics as he was the leading scorer. Sullinger, another big rebounding game, had 20 the other night against New Orleans, had 16 tonight. And Evan Turner had a very exciting game tonight, did chip in with 7 assists. So some of the leaders for the Celtics after this one tonight. I am going to bring in my co-host for the evening. His name is Calvin Chamberlain. You may have heard him on CLNS Radio Airwaves on the Careless Whispers podcast. If you haven't caught that, you can check out CLNS Radio and also listen to it on our app, iTunes or Stitcher. But Calvin Chamberlain calling in from the West Coast to help us break this one down. Calvin, first of all, nice to speak with you. It's been a while since you and I have been on the air together. But I want to get your initial thoughts on this one as the Celtics beat the Bulls 105-100 tonight.
So just to let you know, I have League Pass, but I could not watch this game on that, so I tried to watch on an ESPN app. I sort of had some difficulty with getting it. So, it was a pretty even game for the most part, except for the Celtics, when the Celtics were making their little run in the fourth quarter, that's when I was having my greatest difficulty. So it seemed to be a little run of turnovers that they created, which, you know, usually is with this team. Would you describe that as accurate, or do you think it was something a little different? It seemed like they were getting out of transition in that moment.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics defense really buckled down. Jay Crowder was big throughout the whole game defensively, you know, made some significant defensive plays, particularly in that time frame. And to be honest with you, Calvin, they really just started hitting their shots, whereas in the first half they were horrible. Avery Bradley in particular missed his first five shots before he finally got a layup. Isaiah Thomas was off to a rough start. He ended up with 20 points all in the second half. But, you know, when Stevens dials up the right lineup, the right rotation, they seem to just flourish. And when they needed them to help them kind of pull away from the game, he got the defensive rotation that he wanted in there, and they really excelled. The Celtics had 8 players in double figures tonight, though. We'll get into a breakdown of the stats a little bit later. But, you know, obviously coming into this game, I mean, from what you know of the Bulls coming into this game, you know, I haven't really seen much of what Chicago has done. Pulling off a victory like this for the Celtics, I mean, what does this mean going into a game like they have to play on Friday against the Warriors, you know, a team that hasn't lost this season and is coming off a championship? What kind of confidence can the Celtics take into a game like that, just from what you've seen maybe this season from the Bulls, even though you didn't get to watch this game tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I was able to watch some of it, and not as much as I'd like, but definitely, you know, the Bulls are a team that's sort of struggling a little bit. They're a team that really hasn't figured out, you know, defined roles for this particular season, particularly with Mike Dunleavy out. It's been difficult playing. You know, you see that they're playing Tony Snell, and Tony Snell, he's sort of like Tony Allen in that he's a good defense. I'm not a Tony Allen-level defender, but he's a defensive player who, you know, limited offensively, but they're a defensive team and they sort of need him out there. But, and the other alternative is Doug McDermott, who is a guy who can't really play any defense. But the Celtics, unlike the Bulls, you know, they seem to have guys who can play both ends for the most part, or at least those are the guys who play on this team. You know, a lot of people are been at least in the games that I've been doing, have been wondering why, you know, a guy like David Lee doesn't play more, and I think that has something to do with it, although he played well tonight. And every Celtics game I watch, you know, he plays well offensively, but on the other end, he's not doing it for you. And I think Brad Stevens is looking for guys who can play on that end. And, you know, guys who I never thought were great defenders in their career, like Jared Sullinger and like Kelly Olynyk, this year are doing things I've never seen before. You know, I see Olynyk, you know, getting out there and trapping, pick and roll. I see Sullinger. Yeah, he's always been a good rebounder, but, you know, he's not necessarily always been the greatest defender, and I think he's boxing people out. You saw in this game, the Bulls have a big front line, you know, a big, deep front line, and he still was there getting those 16 rebounds, getting 5 offensive rebounds, playing spectacular defense. Obviously, the addition of Amir Johnson helps a lot on that end. I think that this team, everything starts with defense. Everything starts with creating turnovers. They're still not the most talented team, but, like, just everything they do in terms of, defense and getting out in transition is what makes this team.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned it there. I mean, obviously, they're not the most talented team, but Brad Stevens has dialed up some rotations that seem to be working. He's sticking with them. You know, obviously, the injury to Smart hurts a little bit. You know, when it comes to particularly on the defensive end, and he's obviously become a facilitator for them, but they've made do without him, that's for sure, particularly in a game like tonight. As I mentioned, 8 players in double figures for the Celtics, so all 5 starters plus Turner, Olynyk, and Lee. Turner had 13 points off the bench, had 7 assists, had a fantastic breakaway 360 dunk, also had a great assist on a spin move to David Lee, cut into the hoop for an easy dunk for him. So he played really well tonight, I thought. And Olynyk coming off the bench, 5 of 11 shooting, had some big shots at 15 points to go along with 4 rebounds and a couple assists. But, yeah, I thought Lee played one of his better games as a Celtic tonight. I mean, he's been kind of up and down. I know some folks on this network have been a little critical of David Lee, and maybe that this move wouldn't necessarily work out for the Celtics. But I think he proved his worth a little bit tonight. Had 12 points and 6 rebounds off the bench, 5 of 11 shooting, and brought some good energy to this team. There was really good energy with a lot of these guys tonight. I thought Olenek brought great energy off the bench, obviously Turner, and then Lee as well. But to have 8 guys in double figures in this game against the Bulls team, you know, regardless of their struggling, you know, the Bulls hung around in this game and you know, very well could have come back and won it. But I thought the Celtics played a great overall game tonight and did get out in transition, but definitely played fantastic defense when they needed to be able to hold off the Bulls in this one. So 105-100, the Celtics pull out the victory tonight. They did get ahead by double digits. They were ahead by 10 at one point in the fourth quarter. Bulls made a run, and the Celtics were able to hold them off there, as I said. One thing I will say about the Bulls, and you know, we'll get back into some of the performances of the starters on the Celtics, but I was very impressed with Jimmy Butler tonight, Calvin. You know, this guy played 39 minutes out there. You know, leading scorer of the game, 36 points on 12 of 24 shooting. You know, I thought he was creating offense. You know, he was penetrating to the hoop. He was hitting the outside shot. You know, he was doing all the little things to keep Chicago in this game, because some other guys were struggling. I mean, they signed him to a huge contract, and you know, at least in this game, he was kind of up to the task. What are your thoughts on Jimmy Butler and what he was able to do tonight, and you know, what Bulls fans like so much about this guy, and why he's making the money he's making?
I mean, well, the most important thing about Jimmy Butler is that he's a two-way player, which, you know, how many of those guys are there in the league? There's, guys who are truly two-way players. There are guys who don't really take away anything on the defensive end, you know, or, you know, don't really take away anything on the offensive end, but usually everyone's not a specialist, but, you know, leans more one direction than the other, and he's truly a guy who's got the balance of being a stopper while also, you know, we saw how much he's improved his offensive game. His face-up game is really good. You see him going he had several of those layups on the left side of the rim after, you know, going to the right and sort of doing that scoop underneath. That worked several times. The Bulls did a good job of sort of screening for him at the three-point line and giving him, you know, sort of clear-out matchups for him to take to a guy off the dribble. And the Celtics, I think, you know, struggled with having that guy to guard him down the stretch of the game. So, you know, I think some of it has to do with matchups. I don't know if you can put Crowder on. I think Crowder's probably the closest thing to a good matchup for him. But I think you need, with you know, their other guys, with their bruisers, Mirotić is another guy who can handle the ball and is bigger. You probably need to, you know, have Crowder out on Mirotić more often, or even a McDermott type.
Well, we'll be taking your calls here in a few minutes on the FanDuel toll-free call lines. The toll-free number is 347-215-7771. The CLNS Radio call lines are powered by FanDuel, and the NBA season is in full swing. Play against your friends anytime on FanDuel. Head-to-heads and private leagues have never been easier. You think you know basketball? Well, prove it at FanDuel.com. FanDuel is the best place to play one-day fantasy basketball. Pick a team of 9 players with just players from tonight's games. Payouts will be in your account the next morning. No waiting to get paid. You can play every day or whenever you want, and leagues start at just $1. Finally, it can pay to be a fan. Plus, right now, I have a special offer for my listeners. Enter a FanDuel league now, and if you don't win, FanDuel will refund your money. Any contest you want, up to $10, just make a deposit. Choose your league, and if you don't win, you'll get that money right back in your FanDuel account. So it's the only way to get this exclusive no-lose offer is to go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone, and use the promo code Celtics. That's promo code Celtics. Anyone can play. So go to FanDuel.com and use the promo code Celtics for your free play. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today. All right. So, Calvin, as I alluded to a little bit earlier, obviously the Celtics got off to a bit of a rough start here, particularly Avery Bradley and Isaiah Thomas, who were struggling from the field. You know, Avery seems to have these games every once and again, and then he comes back with a fantastic performance. You know, obviously on the defensive end, he's working very hard, and you know, he's very disruptive, a great perimeter defender. But he definitely had some help in picking up the slack here with guys like Amir Johnson, who chipped in with 12 points, and obviously Sullinger with his 10 points and 16 rebounds. But a guy like Avery Bradley, I mean, you know, we've talked about him so much, you know, on CLNS Radio. He's been in trade rumors forever. You know, he's been often injured. You know, the knock on him was he couldn't stay on the court. But then he's, you know, in the category of one of the top defenders in the league. You know, obviously he's developing a shot, developing the three, hitting the corner three, you know, working on that. You know, on a night like this, though, when he struggles, you know, what are your thoughts on Avery Bradley and what he continually needs to do to be more consistent out there? Because I think that's the biggest thing with him is the consistency. You know, he goes out there and only has 10 points tonight and, you know, probably only hit one or two shots in the first half. What have you seen from him this season anyway, that he needs to be more consistent on?
You know, for whatever reason, Avery Bradley, it seems like this season is the season where Celtics fans have really turned on Avery Bradley, and I find that interesting. And it could be because I think that Avery Bradley, you know, there was that couple season stretch there where Avery Bradley was really impressive, and maybe people thought that like he was going to turn into a superstar, and he hasn't done that. And thus, I think people have been really critical of him. But if you look at his numbers, he's shooting a higher percentage than he ever has. He's shooting 47%. Considering the shot that he takes, you know, he's having a good year. I don't understand why people are so harsh on him. You're right, he didn't have the best game today. But I think for the most part, he takes pretty good shots. You know, he's certainly a huge part of this this defensive resurgence that the Celtics are in, and you know, that's where everything starts with them. Yeah, do I think that Avery Bradley is the defender he was a couple of years ago? Maybe not. Maybe he's putting a little bit more effort into offense, but he's still generating enough turnovers to, you know, be a huge factor on that end. He's certainly a valuable guy. You can say, you know, when Marcus Smart comes back, maybe you'd rather start Isaiah and Marcus and bring Avery off the bench. That's certainly an interesting situation. Would you know, it remains to be seen how that plays out. But you know, other things about him, it's like, yeah, people were complaining a couple years ago about Avery Bradley because he could never stay healthy. He's been pretty healthy this year, and nobody's given him that credit. You know, I don't know. I guess I'm starting to go, now that Celtics fans are cold on him, I guess I'm starting to go the other way on Avery.
Yeah, I mean, speaking as a Celtics fan, you know, rather than as an analyst, you know, my frustration with Avery Bradley is the inconsistency, and that's why I bring it up. And, you know, I brought it up a number of times when I've hosted this show, because there's been, I think, enough of a sample size of Avery Bradley, despite some of the seasons where he was injured, to see that, you know, we have high expectations of him because of how great he could be. He can be a scorer. You know, he can be, you know, obviously he's a great perimeter defender, as I said, great defender overall. The fact that he is still inconsistent on the offensive side kind of has us a little bit frustrated because we think, you know, we're putting him, you know, on a little bit of a pedestal because he's been here so long, because he survived the trade rumors and Danny Ainge has stuck with him, and obviously Brad Stevens now has stuck with him. So we expect a lot more from Avery Bradley. But, you know, obviously any player is going to have a night where they just struggle from the field and they only end up with 10 points. You know, you can't take away the effort that he puts in night in and night out, especially, as you said, this season he's been very healthy for the most part. He's been out there, you know, almost every night. So that's given him an opportunity to try and maintain the consistency. Now we just need him to you know, continue to do that, and hopefully they'll be all right. But like you said, the resurgence of the defense has really started with a guy like that. So I'd love to see him continue to improve on the offensive end. But like you said, I mean, 47%, and if that's the highest that he's performed at in his career, then obviously he's doing something right, and we're missing something. Stats don't lie, right?
Yeah, and I just think he doesn't need the ball, which when he's playing with Marcus Smart, I think it can become an issue because Marcus Smart also doesn't want the ball, and you need in that situation,
yeah,
you're going to end up needing, a guy like Evan Turner to be on the floor. But when you're playing him with Isaiah, it's ideal because all he's going to do is do back cuts. He's a guy who's, unselfish in that respect. He just curls around his screen and waits for his shot. He doesn't feel the need to take his man off the dribble. You want to have guys like that on your team because you only have so many ball handlers. And I think right now he's really fitting what this team is doing.
Well, aside from Avery Bradley, obviously a guy that struggled a little bit tonight was Isaiah Thomas. He ended up with a team-high 20 points, but none of those points came in the first half. 5 of 15 shooting for him. I mean, he was pretty ice cold there in the first half. And even in the second half from outside, he was a little bit cold and really started to heat up when he was penetrating and getting to the line. Now, obviously I love Isaiah Thomas. I love what he's brought to the table since the Celtics acquired him last year. He's been one of the top scorers that they've had almost game in and game out. But there's some times where he gets out of control a little bit or tries to force things a little bit too much. I like that he goes to the hoop and tries to get to the line. But are they kind of living and dying by Isaiah Thomas? And, some nights it's going to cost him, or, is he that good that, you can live with some of the mistakes that he makes sometimes or some of the times that he's out of control and, loses the ball out of bounds when they're going for a time or a leading hoop, which I've seen it happen, I think, a couple times this season. Your take on Isaiah Thomas and the struggles he had early tonight?
I mean, obviously he couldn't hit a shot, but you're right. Isaiah Thomas, the example you used about Avery Bradley to me applies more to Isaiah. Isaiah is a truly streaky player, but I mm-hmm. think that, even when he's not necessarily hitting a shot, he still does bring you the value of, creating chaos with his speed, right? I mean, at this point, he's averaging 6 assists a game, but I think, that number would be higher if you just accounted for the number of times where teams have to scramble and send 3 guys. We saw it several times down the stretch of that game where Isaiah would get past his first man, and, the Bulls would have to rotate another 2 guys, and then mm-hmm. there's 2 or 3 guys left wide open on the perimeter. Isaiah might not find the guy who takes the shot, but often his action, his motion, his speed is what ends up creating an open shot for the Celtics, even when it doesn't come directly from him. I think that's a valuable thing. You're right. At times, he sort of gets a little too focused on, his scoring, his shots. He'll take shots that I don't necessarily love. But, obviously, ultimately, his value is going to be in the positive. I mean, he's scoring 21 points a game, and, people are already throwing his name out there as a possible all-star.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take 25 and 5 from him all day long, but just looking a little bit behind those numbers, obviously 5 of 15 shooting,
right,
and he struggled. None of those points that he had were in the first half, but I'll take those stats from him all day at the end of the game. And that's one of the things, there's been the talk about starting IT or having him come off the bench. My take on the whole thing was that for the most part, even at the end of last season, the beginning of this season, when he was not starting, he was still playing significant minutes, whether, 30 plus minutes. And he was out there at the end of the game when it really mattered the most. But I think he's, of course he wants to be a starter, right? I mean, that's the mentality that he should have, that he wants to be out there as much as possible. He accepted the role that he had prior, and now he's starting, and it seems to be working out for them, particularly with Smart out. Maybe a couple more weeks before Smart comes back, you talked about maybe having Avery Bradley come off the bench. Brad Stevens is kind of locked in a little bit with the rotation. Some players have spoken out about it, that they don't really know their role as that rotation kind of solidifies a little bit. ideally, when Marcus Smart does come back, do you feel that Avery Bradley coming off the bench is the best option, or going back to having Isaiah Thomas be that sixth man work out better for the Celtics, especially with the way they're playing right now?
I think early on you saw that Brad Stevens had the concern about the backcourt of Smart and Bradley, because and that's really the reason why he started, you know, David Lee in Philly the first couple games. I think that you just don't have enough ball handling with those two as your primary guard. Neither one of them wants to take that role of a traditional point guard type. And I think ultimately there's, you know, unless you want to move out Crowder and bring Evan Turner into the starting lineup, which the way Crowder's playing right now, I don't think you could do that, right? I mean, yeah, the drop off on the defensive end. Although Evan Turner's also playing very well defensively, but he's not playing Jay Crowder level defensively. So I, you know, definitely want to keep Crowder in that starting lineup. And if you do that, in my opinion, you probably want to take either Bradley or Smart and put him on the bench. And with the commitment to developing Marcus Smart, I think that you have to probably go Isaiah Thomas and Marcus Smart, who, you know, it makes sense. Although Isaiah also has not really been bad defensively at all this year. You know, if you pair him with a bulldog like Marcus Smart, who can guard the bigger players, the bigger shooting guards, who, you know, obviously Isaiah can't guard at all. That to me, it sounds like the best of both worlds. Avery Bradley is a, you know, jump shooter who certainly can light it up off the bench. I think that's what I would go with.
Yeah, it's interesting to see what it will be interesting to see what happens when Marcus Smart comes back and how Brad Stevens kind of shoots him back into the rotation here. I'm sure that at first, you know, he may ease it back in and bring him off the bench to get some minutes to get comfortable. But once he is back up and running 100% or as close to it as possible as it can be in the middle of an NBA season, what the rotation will look like. Well, as you know, CLNS Radio. Go ahead, Calvin. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to ask you about Smart. I'm just wondering, and I know this might be too early, but just in general, like how concerned are you about, you know, what seems to also be a propensity for getting injured? Are you at all worried about that, or do you think it's, you know, too soon to really try to label him with that?
Well, I mean, I think it might be too soon to label him at that, but of course it is a bit of concern. I mean, you look at how he performs when he's out there, Calvin, and, you know, obviously there was a little bit of a knock on him coming out of Oklahoma State with some of the stuff that happened with him, with the fan and everything like that. In the stands, but I think he's toed the line. He's been he's been a great Celtic so far. Said all the right things. He works hard. He's definitely improved his game. But he plays with reckless abandon sometimes, particularly when it comes to driving to the hoop. Taking charges, diving for loose balls. I mean, you love that stuff. You love that lunch pail mentality and just going in and punching the clock. And that's why Celtics fans, we love Larry Bird, because he did all that. That's why we love guys like now, like Jay Crowder and even to a certain extent, Jonas Jerebko. You see what kind of toll that has taken on a Derrick Rose, perfect example. You know, you see a guy out there tonight, with a face mask on, and he's often been injured as well. And that's kind of the aura that he has over him is that, that he can't stay on the court. I wouldn't want to see that for a guy like Marcus Smart. I mean, he's only in his second year. The potential for him is huge. But yeah, it's definitely something to worry about. And, you know, you don't want to go out and tell a player like that to tone his game down, because what's made him so successful and what's made him a fan favorite is how he plays the game. So, you know, I think that, you know, Danny Ainge as the president of basketball operations and Brad Stevens and, as the head coach can go to him and say, hey, listen, we don't want you to change your game, but just be cognizant of how you play and take care of your body so that you could be out there. Because in this rebuild, and they're continuing to rebuild, I mean, he's going to be needed. They're going to continue to build around him, it seems like, although he had been mentioned in a couple of trade rumors that I think I heard in the off season. But, I think that when he's out there, he's very valuable to this team. So they want to keep him out there. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something to worry about, even though it is still early in his career.
Okay, go ahead and read your thing that you were going to read. I'm sorry.
Yeah, now CLNS Radio is the best of written, spoken, and watched sports coverage. For the best of AV, turn to CLNS Radio's YouTube channel, youtube.com/CLNS Radio. You'll get high-definition locker room interviews, full-length locker room interviews, as well as the Garden Report, our HD post-game show shot on the parquet floor at TD Garden. And if you haven't checked out the YouTube channel lately, you'll see a new show that we have on there called Celtics Beat Unfiltered with Larry H. Russell and Harris Rubenstein, which you have to check out. So subscribe today, youtube.com/CLNS Radio. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to check out Unfiltered or not, Calvin, but there are a couple of episodes in. It's an opportunity to see Larry H. Russell live rather than just hear him on the Celtics Beat podcast. And obviously co-hosting with Harris Rubenstein has been fantastic so far.
No, I have not. I'll have to check it out.
Absolutely. YouTube.com/CLNS Radio. There you go. All right. We have not gotten any callers on the FanDuel call lines as of yet, but they are open. So give us a call, 347-215-7771. We are breaking down the Celtics 105-100 win over the Chicago Bulls tonight, with a big game coming up on Friday that everyone is very excited about. Now, I had taken a look just, you know, randomly at some ticket sites to see what might have been available to head down to the Garden Friday night, and much to my disbelief, the tickets were minimum $200, Calvin, for the game Friday night against the Warriors. I do want to get into a little bit of a preview of that. I don't know how many Golden State games you've watched this year, but it's probably more than mine, more than I have, considering they're out on the West Coast, and as well as you. And, you know, with Kobe retiring and the Lakers playing terrible, I'm sure you're more excited to watch Golden State than you are to watch the Lakers.
Well, my best friend's like a huge Warriors fan, so I've seen my share of Warriors games this year, definitely.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, the team is undefeated. They're coming off a championship. Should be a great night at TD Garden. Unfortunately, I don't have a couple hundred dollars to go out there and see it, so I'm gonna have to watch at home with everyone else. Obviously, before we get too far ahead of ourselves, getting back into this one, you mentioned, you talked about Jared Sullinger, obviously, and him stepping his game up. We've talked a lot about, just in this network in general, on this show in general, after games, Jared Sullinger. And, you know, it seems like he's taken all of the criticism that he's had throughout his tenure here with the Celtics to heart, finally. We hope he stays that way because, you know, although it doesn't seem like he's still gotten into the best NBA shape that he possibly can, it's clear that he's working hard at his game. And for the most part, he's had some impressive performances, particularly on the boards. He's had some double-digit numbers. He had 20 rebounds against the Pelicans, had 16 tonight. So he's really playing some of the best basketball that he's played overall, I think. And he hit a big shot tonight from outside even to help extend the lead for the Celtics and keep the Bulls at bay. What have you seen from Jared Sullinger this season? Maybe not tonight, but, you know, kind of in a bigger sample size that leads you to believe that he can actually be the player that the Celtics wanted to be, or can he be that? Does he have a ceiling, do you think, considering how well he's playing now, but, you know, obviously with the troubles that he's had both on and off the court?
I mean, he's a fascinating player because, certainly he has athletic limitations, and certainly he has limitations that exist based on, you know, the fact that he's not in the greatest of NBA shape. For a regular person, sure, he's in great shape, and he's in a better shape than he was previously, but he's not in amazing shape. And so I think that he has that, you know, left to do in terms of improving. Certainly you can say that if he hit his physical apex that he could be a guy who does become, you know, a better player than he is now. But I think that takes away from how just how much he's been improved this season. And, you know, particularly on the defensive end, particularly I think in the energy end, I think that he's playing a lot harder for longer a lot of times. I think that, you know, you would see stretches where he would take time off, and I think that had a lot to do with, you know, his energy levels. But certainly this year it's been different, and I think that he can probably improve that even further, and that's where he could become a better player. But I'm not sure that, like, athletically he's going to be that much better than he is now. But so I wouldn't expect him to be a superstar, but I think that certainly he can hit, you know, still another gear if he, you know, when it comes down to conditioning and when it comes down to just playing better.
Yeah, you talked about playing for, you know, extended periods of time. I played 27 minutes tonight and was pretty high energy even at the end of that. So, but one of the things that, you know, I've always thought, and I don't know how much, you know, stock you could really put in this, but, you know, because everyone's talking about getting him into better shape, better NBA shape, but the size that he is now and kind of his girth, if you will that take away from fundamentally how he plays the game, especially defensively, especially rebounding wise? You know, he's undersized for the position that he's playing already, as far as height is concerned. So, you know, he kind of needs a little bit of that girth to help him bang with the big bodies in the NBA. So do you think having him get in too good a shape could be a deterrent for him to continue to, you know, reach a potential? Or do you think he could continue to play that way with a slimmer, more athletic NBA body?
You know, it's an interesting point because we have seen certain guys, you know, in NBA history get skinnier, lose their bulk and not really be the same type of player when that was how they played. You know, a guy like Kendrick Perkins comes to mind, like skinny Kendrick Perkins was immediately not as good as, you know, wider wall, human wall Kendrick Perkins. So I certainly think that could be an issue. I think slimming down too much might be a problem, but maybe just turning some of that that fat into more muscle. And I think right now it's not a problem either way. You know, like you get what you get from him, but if you're going to sign him, you know, to a 5-year extension, it's like the way he grinds. You know, I realize he wouldn't even be that old at the end of that, but that just takes years off your career, and I don't know how long even a young player like you want him to continue playing that style.
Yeah, and you mentioned the 5-year extension. Obviously, you know, the Celtics have an opportunity to lock him up long term, and you know, they didn't take that opportunity to do so, and that may have been one of the reasons why. Obviously, because there's been so much of a struggle with his conditioning and obviously his weight. You know, the way he's playing right now, if he continues on this and obviously stays healthy, because health has been an issue for him as well. You know, we talked about Marcus Smart and his first couple of years not being able to stay on the court. Solinger has missed a significant amount of time with injuries. And, you know, he had that injury, you know, injury prone tag on him before he was even drafted. And that's how he was able to slip to Danny Ainge and the Celtics when he did later in the draft. But, if he continues to play this way, I think he can be, you know, one of the better role players, especially off the bench. I think is a good role for him because he can come in and rebound, because he can, you know, play around the basket. He can hit the outside shot. I still don't want him shooting threes for anything. I think he can, you know, I know he wants to develop into a more of a perimeter shooter and particularly behind the line, but you know, if he needs to continue to work at the pace that he's been working, because it's clear that he has been. He has upped his work ethic a little bit, because you're seeing it on the court with the way he's been playing, particularly in the last, you know, last few games here. He's had some big bodies to contend with. I'm blanking on the guy's name from the Pelicans that looked about 7'8" out there against Jared Solinger. I think he was only probably 7'1", 7'2". But, and then obviously tonight with guys like Noah, who could be a pest, I thought he held his own pretty well against those guys.
Yeah, he definitely has learned, I think, to sort of use his body a little bit better in terms of, boxing out those bigger guys, sort of using his wider backside to and, you know, using his arms to sort of get around. He's found ways to get around guys who are bigger than him. But you're right. Sometimes he just looks so overmatched in terms of size. But, you know, the NBA is going in that direction away from size. They're going in that spacing direction. I sometimes think it's a mistake because I think that there, you know, there are only so many teams that can legitimately play well that way. But I think, if anything, the Celtics are one of those teams.
Well, the FanDuel call lines are open, the FanDuel toll-free call lines at 347-215-7771. We do have a caller here, Calvin, so let's go to them. Welcome into the CLNS Radio Celtics post-game show. Who we got?
Hey, Sean.
Is this The Voice?
Hey, Sean.
How's it going, bud? Oh, it's fantastic.
I don't know. We got a guy
out in Springfield talking about his Johnson, his big Johnson.
Yeah, you know, I did hear that gentleman in Springfield, and that's kind of why I got on the board there to sort of give you guys a little reprieve. That was uncalled for, but you know what happens around here. I guess he didn't actually watch the game.
Yeah, I heard you were having an enjoyable evening out, but so I won't quiz you on anything, you know, specifically about the game tonight. But you know, obviously a good win for the Celtics going into Friday night's game. You know, what are your thoughts on how they're playing right now and you know, getting a big win over the Bulls tonight?
Listen,
Can I jump in real quick?
Please do.
Since Rory's here, can you guys just give me a moment? I'll be right back.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I see how it goes.
He just uses
me to his advantage. It's fine.
come back when you're ready.
Exactly. I think that this Celtics team is, they're on a roller coaster. And as fans, we have to sort of sit by that and enjoy it, even though I don't really like roller coasters.
We've been through so many of them over the years, though.
I know. But I said this last week, Sean, and I'm concerned because I feel like this Celtics team, more than in the past few years, and even when KG and Pierce were here and they were doing this often, they are playing up and down to their opponents. And you see this throughout the league. You see this throughout the league. The teams sort of go back and forth. If they're playing Golden State or they're playing San Antonio, they're going to play better, right? And they look across the court and they see guys that are better than them. They want to elevate their game. Miami is an example of this. The Celtics beat them not too long ago. They played really well in that game, and people perceive that team as a better team than the Celtics. So my concern is that in games against Philadelphia, Orlando, the Lakers of the world, of the NBA, the Celtics are not going to be playing their best. And to me, when they're focused, they're very tough to beat. But when they're not focused and they're playing down to their opponent, and that's an issue. So I think it's something that the coaching staff should look out for, because a team this young should not be picking up those habits.
Well, you know, obviously you would expect them then to be up for the game on Friday night then against the Warriors. I mean, you know, there's really not a bigger game on the schedule for them right now than a game against the defending champs and a team that's 23-0 this season. And, you know, playing against a guy like Steph Curry, who's out of his mind right now, playing with a team that is, you know, all out of their minds right now, the way they're playing. You know, whether Klay Thompson will play, I know he tweaked his ankle at the end of the game last night in another victory for the Warriors. You know, a lot of Celtics, I've seen a lot in social media, a lot of Celtics fans are confident that the Celtics can play well in this game Friday night. You know, are you going to be there?
Yeah,
are you going to the game Friday?
I am going to be there. I skipped tonight, and I'm definitely not going to skip Friday night. I wasn't going to give those season tickets up. And I actually talked to a coworker today, and he was like, you know, those tickets are going for $200 or so, and I heard you mention that earlier on the show, Sean. And I said to him, it's too bad I'm such a big basketball fan, because I could make some money off of this game, but there's no way I'm going to miss it.
Absolutely.
Golden State is too good right now to walk away from something like that. I can't pass up the opportunity to see potentially the best team of my lifetime come into Boston and play the Celtics. So I'm looking forward to it regardless of the outcome of the game. I'm not probably actually going to be paying more attention to Golden State than the Celtics, unfortunately, which is kind of painful to say. But, I mean, this seems like a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing where a team like the Warriors are coming into town, especially
you
being
you
on
gotta
the
scout
other
the opponents. You
country.
You've got to scout the opponents for the finals when the Celtics make the finals against them this year, right?
There you go. No, but really, I think the Celtics should be up for this game. They should give them a little bit of a run for their money. I don't expect them to win like a lot of people that I've been hearing on the radio around here and just seeing on social media. They expect the Celtics to win this game, and I think that's just a lofty expectation. Golden State was undefeated at Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's really nothing stopping them now. I'd like the Celtics to be competitive against them, like the Celtics were competitive against the Spurs, right? You know, the way they're rebuilding, you want to put yourself up against these organizations, and obviously San Antonio was a great one to follow because of how they present themselves and how they played and how they're led by Popovich. And certainly the Warriors are the same way, even with Steve Kerr out. Luke Walton has done a great job, and you know, you got to give him a lot of credit, even though the players are doing the job on the court. You know, he's kind of stepped into a tough situation being an interim coach and has still been able to get what they've gotten out of those guys, and has made the right moves, you know, when it comes to the rotation there. And you know, of course he's got his team playing you know, absolutely fantastic. So I think it was important for the Celtics to get a win tonight, get some confidence going into that game. But my expectations is going to be a competitive game. And, you know, I'm not going to be, you know, too upset if they lose. Maybe if they get blown out, I'll be a little upset. I'd like them to stay in that game. But if the Warriors win and they continue to win, I think it's exciting for the NBA and for basketball to have a team do that. I mean, you know, we haven't seen anything like this, I mean, ever, really. I mean, we've seen in-game winning streaks of 30-plus games from the Lakers and teams like that. But to start a season like this, especially coming off a championship, Matt, it's going to be fun to watch. And, you know, unfortunately, like I said to Calvin, I don't have the $200 to cough up to go to the game. So I'll have to watch from my house, but it'll still be fun to watch.
Yeah, and I think that warm up against the Spurs is definitely a good thing, and that is a good analogy to make there, Sean, because the Celtics, even though they were down by 10 or 12 most of that game, they ended up only losing by a few points, and they
played hard the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the one thing that I love about this team. I really do love about this team is they do never ever give up. Until that buzzer says zero, and obviously that's instilled in them from Brad Stevens, but they really are, you know, a reflection of that, and the fact that they can go up against a team that tough like San Antonio, and pretty much be down for most of that game and come back and nearly pull it off, you know, I mean, even those kind of games, even though it's a loss in the standings, that's a confidence boost for them, and they were able to use that to get on a little bit of a run here. They've won four games in a row at home now. I am going to bring Calvin back on because he is back with us, but we are going to have Jared Weiss on with us in a couple minutes from the Celtics, from the TD Garden and outside the Celtics locker room with the Grandstand Celtics locker room report that's coming up in a couple minutes. He only has a few minutes, so we'll get him right on as soon as I see him pop up here so we can get right to him. Matt, anything else here you want to stick on with us? Or, you know, I know you're a busy man down there, so if you want to hop off, by all means. But I wanted to give you a chance to come on and give your thoughts.
No, I appreciate that. And you guys are doing a good job. I will jump off, but I just wanted to get my thoughts out there because, you know what, I think there is a perception, especially among certain media members, that the Celtics fans out there think that the Celtics are going to win this game on Friday night because there's been some a vocal minority that thinks that they're going to do that. And I just want to say that I don't expect them to win. If I was going to put money on it, I'd bet on the Warriors. And it's a lofty expectation to think the Celtics are going to win this game. I just want them to come out and put up a good fight and give me a good basketball game and not just a one-sided victory from Golden State. And that's it.
Good stuff from the voice of the CLNS Radio Celtics post-game show. That's Matt Rury. Matt, enjoy the game Friday night. We'll talk to you soon, bud.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
All right.
Hi, Matt.
Matt Rury, Calvin's co-host from Careless Whispers. Yeah, I mean, the Celtics, you know, we're talking about the game Friday night, obviously, Calvin. You know, the Celtics have a tough task ahead of them. And then they have a few days off before they play, well, you know, LeBron James and the Cavaliers on Tuesday. So one of the things that that you don't want to happen, obviously, you know, there's a little bit of downtime after the game on Friday, is for them to lose any confidence they may have gained by beating a team like the Bulls and beating a team like the Pelicans, to go off and lose a game like, you know, to the Warriors and then have to go and play LeBron James and the Cavaliers. Do you take any stock in that, you know, losing a game to the Warriors like that could be, you know, a break in their momentum and in their psyche a little bit going into a game against an Eastern Conference opponent that that you'd love to beat and steal a game from going into the next one after the Warriors game?
No, I think there's no shame in losing to the Warriors. I mean,
everyone
I
else
have a
has
chance
this
in
season.
That game. Yeah, everyone, exactly. Everyone else has. And, you know, like I said, I do think they have a chance in that game, you know, based on attrition, if nothing else. How many games now on the road trip for the Warriors? They're going to have to run out of steam at some point. It's going to happen sooner or later. Boston's played, you know, better on the road, actually, I feel like, lately than at home. But they're certainly a team that you know, could do something in this particular game, but I think if they lose, I don't think it'll affect them at all. I mean, you've seen them get blown out. You've seen them, you know, you've seen them lose, what, to the 76ers, to Brooklyn. I think that, you know, this is what this team is. They're very resilient. I think that they're capable of losing those games, but also capable of winning them. So I wouldn't expect it to have an impact either way.
Well, you know, obviously you mentioned that that you expect them to compete in this game. And we'll get back to that thought in a second here, Calvin, because Jared Weiss is with us, and I know he has to hop right on. So, Jared, we're going to go right to you down at the TD Garden with the Grandstand Celtics Locker Room Report. Sports highlights from Fans in the Stands, our new sports app, Grandstand. You could share your own Celtics highlights and watch other fans' videos straight from the crowd. Download the Grandstand app today at the App Store at grandstand.me. Jared Weiss, welcome to the CLNS Radio Celtics Post Game Show.
Sean, good to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Listen, I know you're on a tight schedule tonight, so we'll get right into it. Celtics pull off a 105-100 victory. Great performances tonight from several players, even ones like Isaiah Thomas, who didn't get off to a great start, but he ended up leading the team with 20 points. Why don't you tell us the feeling of the team down at the TD Garden after this one?
Okay, well, how about the fact that Isaiah Thomas and Evan Turner, when they combined 15 for 16 from the line in the second half? That was pretty uncharacteristic, I'd say, of the team.
Yeah, and, but very, very much needed with the Bulls, you know, trying to come back in that game for them to hit their free throws, particularly at the end. IT had a few, a couple of big ones there, but I thought Evan Turner played great in tonight, particularly with that 360 dunk, and then of course the assist to David Lee. Did he speak, or did you get a chance to talk to him after the game?
Yeah, it was great. Turner said after the game that he wanted to show out for ESPN with that 360 dunk. Get on the national scene. You don't forget,
yeah, he'll be
follow
on.
Evan Turner on Twitter. He's been on a presidential campaign since the season started, ET for president. So that was pretty.
He's an Uber driver. He's a president.
Campaign.
I mean, what doesn't this guy want to do? I mean, you know, he's driving for
Uber.
He's
a man of the people.
He is.
He's a man of the people. But he said we've got highlights here too, just like Vince Sanity. So, you know, Evan Vince Carter Turner, as he's now known throughout the land. Turner was so crucial to this game with that fourth quarter stretch where they went big and they had David Lee at the four, or Turner at the three. I don't know if I call it big. They went normal traditional lineup. But having Lee play such a crucial role, he played like 7 minutes to the start of the fourth quarter all the way down to the four-minute mark there in the fourth quarter. Lee was kind of the guy dominating the game. He was pushing transition hard. He had some great passes. And then there was that one play, I thought that was the best play of the game, despite that Isaiah Thomas three-point play that was crucial in crunch time in the Turner 360 dunk. But it was a play where Evan Turner was driving on Derrick Rose, lost the ball, and then – quickly picked the ball up, and then he was under the hoop at this point. He throws a no-look pass over his shoulder to David Lee, who's cutting the opposite direction. Lee got a crucial bucket there, and that really kind of put the Bulls back on their heels. You know, and that was such a great play. It shows just how well these guys can play together. You know, and Lee's looked like he shed like 6 years off of his what seems to be tired frame so far this season. And this is a guy playing with a sore heel. To do what he did with a sore heel, that the guy's a monster. He's a gargantuan human being.
David Lee brought a lot of energy tonight, obviously with big dunk from that Evan Turner assist there. You know, considering he has the injury, did he have anything to say as far as how he's feeling and obviously his performance on the game tonight?
I didn't hear him speak after the game. I know we talked before the game about how he's okay. You know, especially with Smart being out, they really can't afford to have another guy. RJ Hunter is out too right now, so they can't really afford any more injuries at this point. But they did call up Jordan Mickey in case he couldn't play. Mickey didn't get in the game at all. Zeller didn't get in the game at all. And Jarebko only played 17 minutes. The Bulls are a team with a couple powerful guys playing at the four. I think that Lee was probably a better matchup in this game. With Lee, it's just all about whether or not he kind of has it physically that night. Tonight, obviously, he was great, especially in the second half.
Calvin and I talked about this earlier, but I was really impressed with Jimmy Butler on the other side of the ball tonight, obviously with 36 points, and he was very impressive, really kept the team in the game, especially down the stretch there when the Celtics looked to be pulling away. Your thoughts on Jimmy Butler and his game tonight, even in the loss?
My thoughts are the guy was just phenomenal. He's such a great player. It was very apparent that this was his team. You know, Derrick Rose played all 12 minutes in the fourth quarter and only had 2 points. It was a -5. Butler had 17 points in the fourth quarter. As great as they say it was, Butler was incredible. He had a huge run late in the game where the game was pretty much over. And then when Solinger hit that 20-footer, and I'll get to that. I have to talk about that in a second. And then after that, they call a timeout, and then Butler comes out, and he had already had a couple points in a row at that point, and he scores like 5 or 6 straight there to take it from a 9-point lead all the way down to a 4-point lead there at the end.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Things got really tight before the free throw game started, and the Celtics were able to pull it out thanks to Thomas and Turner stepping up and hitting not all of their free throws, but enough to keep the Bulls at bay. But Butler is clearly an all-NBA player. He is just the complete guy. Obviously, he's great on both ends, but to see him put the offense on his shoulders, an offense that was kind of struggling a lot of the night. I mean, Nikola Mirotic has been like a crucial player for this team for a while over the past year. He kind of faded in this game. Joakim Noah was a bit of a mess offensively, but Butler was their rock wire to wire. He was great.
Listen, I know you got a tight schedule here, but Calvin, any questions for Jared before you let him get to the Garden Report and everything else that he has to do to cover this game for CLNS Radio?
Look, I wouldn't be me if I didn't ask zero questions, and especially on a night where Jared has to leave. So I think I'm good.
Absolutely. Well, Jared, we'll let you get back to it. Thanks for joining us tonight, and we'll look forward to the Garden Report and obviously the great locker room coverage that you're providing down there to TD Garden, along with your cohort Kyle George. I assume he's with you tonight as usual.
No, actually, coincidentally, the one game he couldn't make during the month, but he'll be there. He'll be there for the December game. But
one game I'm going to give him a shout-out, and he's not there.
That's all right. I'm sure he's listening somewhere. I think he's got finals right now. But we have our new guy, Jeremy Karp, behind the camera, who actually is one of my oldest friends, so it actually worked out pretty nicely there. But you'll see, you'll probably feel a very slightly different flavor to the Garden Report. Some people look a little bit different.
Oh,
that's just a different guy. That's just a different guy at the boards and Final Cut. So don't forget to download
Grandstand,
Jeremy. People. Please download Grandstand so that we can have more videos to show you on the post-game show. And I'll talk to you guys on Friday for the most exciting game of the year.
Absolutely. Well, Jared Weiss, thank you so much, and have fun tonight, the rest of the night, and of course on Friday. It's definitely going to be one of the best games of the year.
Thanks, guys. Happy Thursday.
All right. Jared Weiss from Garden, and as he alluded to, do go to grandstand.me or the App Store and download the Grandstand app, sports highlights from fans in the stands. Again, on the new sports app Grandstand, you can share your own Celtics highlights and watch other fans' videos straight from the crowd. You'll even see a clip on the Garden Report from the Grandstand app itself. So definitely go check that out today and make sure to download the app. All right, Calvin, before Jared hopped on with us, we were having a discussion about the Warriors game coming up. You had said that you could give the Celtics a chance in this one. Is there anything in particular about how the Celtics have been playing, or anything that you see in the Warriors game that leads you to believe that? Is there anything in particular? Is it just the attrition, like you said, like they're bound to lose a game at some point, so why not it be against a good defensive team like the Celtics?
Well, I think a big part of it is the pace that the Celtics play at, the fact that they get turnovers, they get easy buckets in transition, even though that's ideally the game that the Warriors want to play, they want to push it. In most situations, I would say that's not what you want to do against the Warriors, but I think in this particular situation, it matters more because the Celtics are playing a team that's played, that's the seventh or near the end of a long road trip. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's certainly Klay Thompson has an ankle injury. I don't know if he's going to play or not. Certainly he's not going to be 100%. That'll matter. I think the Warriors, I don't know what the status is of Harrison Barnes. I think he's still not playing. So this is a team that's not at full health. They're on a long road trip, and the Celtics style, making the game quicker and, trying to run teams off the court. Even though, like I said, I don't like that against the Warriors, I do like that in this particular situation against the Warriors.
Well, of course, as Jared alluded to, we will have that covered after the Celtics and Warriors game. I'm not sure who's hosting Friday night, but I know it won't be me, and I know it won't be Matt, so I'm not sure who it's going to be. But we'll have it covered for you on CLNS Radio, of course. And don't forget to check out the YouTube channel. Of course, we'll have the Garden Report after that one. I'm sure Jared will have some great interviews from the locker room on both sides there. I'd love to see if we can get Steph Curry on CLNS Radio airwaves, at least on a locker room video from down at the Garden. But, obviously the Celtics have a couple of game stretch here that's going to be tough. I got to be honest with you, Calvin. I have not seen very much of Cleveland at all, especially lately, or much of LeBron at all. I know, obviously there's, 14-7 this season, but have you been able to catch any of Cleveland and how they're playing and maybe how the Celtics would look a match up against them, particularly coming off the Warriors game here?
Yeah, they're not playing particularly well right now. I mean, obviously they're still right there at the top of the East, but, better Eastern Conference this year. But I think that if you just look at the way they're playing, it's a lot of LeBron, taking it easy. And he's not in full gear. They're relying a lot more on Kevin Love this year. His scoring's up, his rebounding's up, which is fine, but I think that they don't overall have the level of ball handling you'd like to see if you're a Cleveland fan. So I think that team is definitely capable of being beaten.
Well, a couple of big games coming up for the Yeah, a couple of big games coming up for the Celtics, as I said. The way they played tonight, if they could take this momentum into the next couple of games here, obviously, as I said before, a little bit of a break in between, Friday night's game and the game against the Cavaliers on Tuesday. But we're getting into a situation where the Celtics are trying to move up in the East right now. 13-9 record. I'm not sure if that includes tonight. I'm looking at the standings right now. I don't think that includes tonight, so they may have 14 wins. Regardless, 13 or 14 wins, they're starting to get above 500 now. They're getting some good victories here, like you said, against the Pelicans, against the against the Bulls tonight, even with the Bulls struggling a little bit. They're playing some great basketball right now. Give us a call still, 347-215-7771. If you want to come on the air with us, press the number 1, and that will trigger Calvin and I to know that you want to come on the air with us on the FanDuel call lines at 347-215-7771. We'll take calls as long as people are actually calling in. Otherwise, Calvin and I are going to wrap up the show a little bit early. But our friends over at TICIQ, that's TICIQ, just released a fantastic rewards-based mobile ticket buying app. These guys already have the cheapest tickets for all Boston sports, and now their mobile app can save you up to 10% more on tickets to any live event. I'm sure they have tickets to Friday night's game against the Warriors. You can save 10% on their prices. You can actually set price alerts to be notified when tickets within your price range become available, as well as see all the top deals for games at the Garden, Gillette, and on the road. They aggregate all ticket sellers on one platform and have the most competitive prices out there. So head to the Apple App Store today to download the TickIQ app and start saving. That's TIQIQ. Use the promo code Boston for 10% off your first purchase. TIQIQ. So I'll be checking that out and seeing if I can get some cheap tickets for Friday night, maybe at the last minute. But other than that, I'll be watching the game at home. Calvin, we probably won't have too many more callers here in the show, just in case we can stick around for a minute or so. But any thoughts on I don't know if you've been on the show since Kobe announced that he was retiring, but any thoughts since you and I haven't had this conversation and I haven't been on with you on Kobe Bryant, and first of all, the timing of this, and second of all, how the rest of the season is going to go as far as the Lakers are concerned with this being his final season?
Originally I wasn't a huge fan of the timing of the decision, just because I'm not typically a fan of the retirement tour. But you know what? I feel like people have really reacted to it well in terms of just everyone wanting to come out and see him one more time. Although I guess I have my issue with that is that he's still it sort of reinforces his desire to continue playing like Kobe Bryant, and he's not capable of being that guy. I would much rather have had him just up and retire, but he's not going to skip out on that contract that he's getting. So. It just reminds me of that as well. I guess ultimately I've made my peace with it. I don't know how much I can celebrate the kind of performances he's putting up on a night-to-night basis at this point, but certainly I can celebrate his career overall. But I think that I feel like I've already done that, and really it's hard for me to celebrate, a guy's career in the moment. I think it'll be easier for me once he actually does retire, but right now it's sort of a painful process for me to watch him night in and night out be this person.
Yeah, it's interesting. We have a pretty unique comparison here with a guy like David Ortiz for the Red Sox announcing his retirement. Obviously not comparing him to Kobe, different sports and everything like that. And obviously Ortiz has done it in the off season prior to his last season. So we have to endure even more of that final tour kind of thing that we saw with Jeter and with Mariano Rivera and everything like that. But the fact that we could see such a polarizing figure and such an impactful player, Ortiz has 3 World Series rings. No Red Sox player had brought the Red Sox a ring before. He helped to do it in 2004. Obviously, Kobe in a different situation with the Lakers, where their storied franchise had a number of championships before he got there. But the fact that he has brought so many championships, helped bring so many championships to the Lakers in his tenure there. I mean, he's been in the league for 20 years now. Came out right out of high school. Whirlwind career for Kobe Bryant, and I just thought it was interesting that he decided in end of November, beginning of December, that this is pretty much it. Do you think that goes to just how poorly he's playing and how poorly the team is playing, and he doesn't want to deal with this beyond this year? Obviously, he wants to finish the season because of the contract, like you said, but. Did he go into the first couple of months of the season and say, this just isn't happening, and that's why he made the decision? Or do you think he's been struggling with it for a while and just couldn't really take it anymore?
No, I think he truly didn't expect him to play this badly. I think that he really thought that he could get it back, and even at the start of the season, because he hasn't had that opportunity to find out, if You know, he's been injured basically going into every season for the last three seasons, so he's never really been healthy for more than a couple of games. Even at the start of the season, you know, it's taken him some time to fully come to grips with, like, okay, this is who I am. And I think that's really, you know, the time when he said, I'm never going to get this back, I'm embarrassing myself.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to legitimately say, I'm going to retire.
Now he can really embarrass himself because the spotlight's going to be on him even more because he announced his retirement.
Yeah, except now nobody cares. Now everybody's going to love him because they're never going to see him again, you know?
Well, listen, from a Celtics fan's perspective, I mean, you know, obviously I've watched a couple of big rivals in you know, my sports fandom, if you will. And, I mentioned Jeter, obviously. Of any Yankee that I've ever watched, he was the one that I probably respected the most, along with Mariano Rivera. When it comes to, you know, rivals of the Celtics, obviously the Lakers have historically been the biggest one, maybe not necessarily the last few years, but obviously, you know, a bunch of championships going back to 2010 and 2008, and obviously back to the 80s. Magic is always number one, the number one Laker to me, but Kobe is probably a close number two with what he's done, and he's always been a great competitor. And, you know, regardless of some of the off-the-court stuff that we've heard about him and what's happened to him, you know, you can honestly say on the court that he's done it the right way. And, honestly, it's sad to see a guy like that have to hang him up. But, he's had a great career. He's won a number of championships, MVPs. I mean, he's done it all, considered one of the best players that has played the game. So it's, a little bit bittersweet even for a Celtics fan. But, Kobe Bryant will, I'm sure, have a very lucrative career after basketball as well in whatever he wants to do.
I definitely think that he will. I think that, you know, it depends on what he does, but anything that involves financial things, I think that he'll be successful at. I think that if he makes the attempt to try to get into basketball coaching, I'd be less enthusiastic about his prospects.
Do you think he would do that? I don't see him as that kind of guy. I really don't. I mean, you know, maybe somewhere in the front office or something like that. But do you see him as an on-the-court guy, as a coach, a head coach at some point?
No, I don't. I think if anything, maybe he would try to get involved in ownership on some level.
Yeah.
He's talked about, you know, him and his father own a European basketball team. I think that, you know, he would maybe try to get in on some team with somebody or, you know, like you said, maybe even a front office. It'll be interesting to see what he does.
Hmm. All right. Well, Calvin, we'll wrap this one up for tonight. But obviously, it's been great being on the Celtics postgame issue with you as always. Any final thoughts on this game from tonight with the Celtics beating the Bulls 105-100?
Impressive game by the Celtics. Their defense once again steps up when it matters most, creating turnovers. The Celtics win. You know, they're sort of smaller level version of what the Warriors do without the shooting. They create chaos, they create turnovers, and they get easy buckets. As long as they do that, they'll be right there with the other teams in the East.
They've certainly been a very exciting team to watch. I haven't watched every game, but every game that I have watched has been very exciting. And I think, you know, none more exciting than what's coming up on Friday, playing the defending champs that will go into that game 23-0. Thanks so much, Calvin, and we will catch you on Friday night after the Celtics and Warriors game from TD Garden. Of course, we'll have the Grandstand app Celtics Locker Room Report from Jared Weiss after that game as well, and we will update you on CLNS Radio on who your host will be for Friday night's show. So for Calvin Chamberlain, you've been listening to Sean Backey and the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show. Thanks so much, and have a good night.